This show is brought to you by Miami Grill. For over 30 years, Miami Grill has brought you big favorites from big cities, featuring authentic ingredients prepared fresh to order with the best cheesesteaks, wings, gyros, burgers, and more. Don't just bring dinner home, bring home Miami. Order online or in person. Pickup, drive-thru, dine-in, and delivery available at all locations. If you're craving it, they're making it. Bringing Miami Grill home has never been easier. With locations all over South Florida, check MyMiamiGrill.com to find yours. That's MyMiamiGrill.com to find Miami Grill. This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick two, three, or four players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick two or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is here, although he's still a little bit under the weather.
Yeah, there won't be any singing for me today.
Thanks, yeah, Fox.
He's recovering, okay? As always, we are brought to you by Manscaped. Use the promo code 5RSN, 20% off your entire order. As always, you want to join our Patreon. It's $3 a month. You get to sneak into our, well, you don't get to sneak into our private chat, but you get to watch it at least. You could talk to like-minded fans, meaning you're not a part of Dolphin Twitter. You'd be part of essentially OnlyFins Twitter. That's at patreon.com/OnlyFins. Look at our 3 Yards Per Carry Twitter account for more details on how to join.
Can I say three things before we go any further? One,
you can say 30 things if you want.
I've only got three. One, I never want to hear Chris sing because he's a Keith Sweat fan and nobody wants to hear that. Number two, training camp's about to start. And in all seriousness, the OnlyFins chat is about to ramp up to the next dimension. And I'm not just saying this because it's $3 a month, which is absolutely nothing. But there is going to be some serious information. Alpha's going to be at camp every single day. And the third thing is about Manscaped. It's the summer. It's about 3,000 degrees in England at the moment. I've just had a nap because I'm tired and the sun is doing this. I get up in the morning and I go on, I ride my bike on Zwift for an hour and then I sweat for the entire rest of the day. It's like fat crying.
Keith Sweat.
Even though I'm not fat, but my missus says it's fat tears, like fat crying as it leaves your body. But then I spend the rest of the day sweating because it's like 8,000 degrees. But you can't have a hairy body during the sun. Like, you can't, you know, and you especially can't have hairy nuts because that's just the worst thing in the world. So, you know, that lawnmower 4.0, that Manscaped set 3.0 or 5.0 or 10.0, whatever it was that they sent me, I still use that every week and there's absolutely no excuse for it. Men, women do not want a hairy boyfriend, wife, hairy husband, hairy best friend, whatever deal you've got going on. And they certainly don't want a hairy wife. So, yeah. Get it sorted. And if your wife's got hairy balls, then you've got bigger problems.
And Simon, well, we're kind of used to
bumping up in the summer. In the summer, we have to start mowing our lawns, you know, definitely once a week instead of once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, code enforcement. Code enforcement says so, right?
Very true.
Code enforcement will be by to check your balls.
Yes. So it's electricity. Oh, and I would say, of course, electricity, sliced bread, and that ball deodorant. That ball deodorant is a godsend.
Yeah, smells good as well.
Yes. Well, you could smell yourself from down there, or you smelled the bottle.
I smell my hands before I put it on the testicle area. It's also very soothing.
Yes, it is.
It like feels nice, as, you know. Well, I'm not sure if it's doing any toning. You know, like, I mean, I don't the toner word. I don't understand. You know, I understand it in a if we're using the word toner like we do for printers and you have toner paper. If it's toner as in this is going to get your balls into shape toner, I've got no idea what that's all about.
Yeah.
But it smells good.
As we get older, we're still dragging them behind us. Yes.
And look, as you get older as well, fucking hairs grow everywhere. like in your ears, in your nose, your eyebrow hair, all that shit. It's like, where the fuck has that hair come from? Like, I'm looking at my arms now, and there's like a couple of rogue hairs, and just like, where the fuck have you come from? And why have you been hiding for 47 years before you just pop up and be an absolute arsehole? Like, I've got these little like moles on my arm, and just hairs grow out of them. It's like, fuck off. I'm not 100 years old.
Anyway. The other day I had one lonely gray hair on my eyebrow, and you would have thought that Martians had landed in my backyard. Hmm. Yeah. It's sign of the times. We're all, you know, hurtling toward death.
I'm trying to work out if I'm more gray than I am brownie black hair now, or more still like what the split is, whether it's like 45, 65 or 45, 55.
You were a good 45, 55. Was I? Probably yeah. A couple of years ago. So
yeah, 45. Sure. Yeah. The way it works is that 45, 55 means you're getting older. When you go like 80, 20 gray, you're dignified. You understand what I mean? So it's better that once it starts going the other way, just go.
I might be 50-50. I feel like I'm probably 50-50 or worse now. Like, now you're making me really nervous. I'm actually looking at my phone and my beard. I think I'm more gray than I am. Fucking hell. I definitely am. I'm like 70-30.
I've yet to produce any gray hairs on my head. So.
Really?
Yep.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. It must be.
No
must
stress be whatsoever.
Beard what? Beard wise, I'm probably 85-15 gray to black. Hair wise, I reckon I'm 50-50, but the beard, shit.
Yeah.
I look like Santa. I mean, no, I don't look like Santa, but color wise, I look like Santa. I don't have a bushy beard. Anyway, this is not what people are paying money for. So,
yeah. Well, there you go, Manscaped. 5 RSN, 20% off your entire order. That is how you do a talk up, although we didn't mean to talk it up that much, but we did. All right, this is essentially like part two of the training camp preview, which means we just rehash a lot of the things that everybody talks about all off season and call it a day. So I don't know, did you get any questions on our Patreon chat to bandied about? Yeah. Here, or we can go about the roster on the defensive side.
You know, that's one of the things about this patron, this OnlyFans things that's kind of cool, is like we can send out the message to everybody, like,
yeah, hey, they get to produce the show, right?
And we don't have to. You guys have questions? Like, just, man, we're about to record. Like, just do you want to know anything? We got questions about like how the PUP works. You know, how Noah Igbinoghene is looking. Although, you know, I can look at a picture of him.
He looks great. He has those nice Oakleys that he was wearing the other day. Mm-hmm.
Love him. Had a visor on, you know, and like he looked pretty smooth. There's kind of questions about offensive schemes that we think that we'll see from the new coordinators, you know, spread it, what 10, 11, 12 personnel, that kind of thing. Those are the kinds of questions we're getting right now. But and then of course Xavien Howard, you know, everybody still wants to know about that.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah,
I do. I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. We do have an idea, or at least I have an idea, of what kind of realistic trade package offers that Miami are going. I'm not saying what they'll take. I'm not saying what Miami wants. But I think the offers out there really are, you know, like kind of a player and a second. You know, and not even necessarily like a prime player.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're getting great offers.
No. And when you talk to people that are not connected with the Miami Dolphins or Xavien Howard, or, you know, even the whole situation, maybe not even the teams that are interested in Xavien Howard, when you ask them about Xavien Howard, he doesn't seem to creep into the top five discussion as far as cornerbacks. And trust me, that'll be part of any negotiation. Somebody's going to tell you, look, he doesn't travel. He doesn't play in the slot. He's a boundary corner. We're not going to give you a first-round pick and a day-one starter. It's not going to happen. So, in my opinion, any offers they're getting right now, I don't know anything that they're getting exactly, but anything that they're going to get is not going to be what you would consider full value for a guy that had 10 interceptions last year and kind of made your defense work.
Can you think of any other, like, a corner that, like, just interception crazy, just like all kinds of interceptions, but wasn't necessarily regarded as, because Asante Samuel comes to mind, wasn't necessarily regarded as top two or three, something like that.
Terrell Buckley had some of that. He made a ton of plays, but gave up a ton of plays. You know, he wasn't as good as Xavier Howard. You know, I think Xavier Howard is a lot like Sam Madison. And not to say he's better than Sam Madison, although he could be. But he was a lot like Sam Madison as far as a player. He's kind of just he's a boundary corner and a good one and a ball hawk. But teams look at him and say, and they're going to make excuses for why they don't want to give you top dollar for him. It's just a fact.
I don't agree with any of that.
Really?
No, of course not. I mean, lots of corners only play on the outside, and he's patently a top five corner in the league. He's done it consistently. The only reason teams wouldn't give him the money is because of the knees. I don't think the fact he doesn't play in the slot.
Yeah, I think the knee is a big deal.
I think the knee is the issue. It's got nothing to do with him playing the slot whatsoever. You can pick a load of corners that don't play an awful lot in the slot who are high level NFL corners. I think the knee issue. You know, has he had back-to-back brilliant seasons?
No, I don't think so.
I think that's the concern as well. He can be a bit, he can run a bit hot and cold, and sometimes the interceptions mask some of the inconsistencies, which I think come about because of the knee, actually, as much as anything. He's just an extremely good. He just has an innate understanding of where the ball is and those sorts of things, but. I think it's very hard to argue that he's anything less than a top five, top eight corner in the league. And I think the only reason teams wouldn't pay that huge amount that you might expect them to is A, because the contract is massive, and B, because the knee has patently been an issue. And is, you know, as he gets older, it's only going to get worse, not better, I would suspect, unless some miracle cure happens for whatever issue he really has with his knee.
Some other guys that have had 10 interception seasons, that just going through it are Delta O'Neal. Do you remember him?
Cincinnati. Yeah.
There's Asante Samuel. That's mentioned that already.
Anthony Henry
was the guy I was trying to, the other guy I was trying to think of aside from Antonio Cromartie has done it.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That's a bit Cromartie like, I think. And Rondae Barber did it though.
Simon, where do you place him in the league? Because I got him somewhere around fourth or fifth as a corner.
I mean, I think he's in that ballpark. I'm interested to see. I'm interested to see what non-Miami fans think of him. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I think he's probably, you know, he's in the conversation with what Jair Alexander, Marlon Humphrey, who's perennially underrated, Jalen Ramsey, Xavier, J.C. Jackson, probably Tre'Davious White. I think they're the sort of, you know.
Gilmer has an opportunity to get right back into that.
Gilmer's a really good player. I think Tre'Davious White, Ramsey, Alexander, Marlon Humphrey, and then X are probably the top six receivers in the league. I think they're the best outside corners in the league. I watch a lot of Green Bay. I think Jair Alexander's a really, really, really good player. Who else is there? I mean, Humphrey.
Now Marcus Peters has his fans.
Yeah. I mean, James Bradbury has been a really good player for a couple of seasons for the Giants.
And he had a big year last year.
He's developed into a really good player. I like Tre'Davious White. Denzel Ward bouncing back off the injury. Who else? Peters is a good player.
Yeah, and I would also say that when we signed him, we all thought that Byron Jones was probably better than Xavier Howard.
But I think Byron Jones is a good player. Carlton Davis is a good player, the Tampa corner. I think he'll train on again this year. Marshawn Lattimore probably has a bounce back season in him. The kid opposite, Jalen Ramsey, what's his name? Darius Williams is a good player.
Yes.
Kyle Fuller. I mean, how the Bears got rid of Kyle Fuller is astonishing. I think he's a good corner.
Yeah, I still don't get that.
Yeah.
He is a really good player.
That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I don't get it.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, I think.
You mentioned Jalen Ramsey, right?
Yeah, yeah, I think.
Okay. And Joe Hayden is aging gracefully, too. Joe Hayden has had good season after good season in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think he's probably in that group of six or seven players that contains Alexander, Ramsey, Humphrey, Trey White. You know, he's in that conversation. Bradbury, maybe. You know, I think.
Yeah, I also think that a lot of people are getting ahead of themselves with all these trades and, oh my God, he's going to hold out all season. And
nothing to talk about, is there? You know.
Yeah, we got to wait. Okay.
William Jackson.
On the 27th, we get a whole new set of information. We get a whole bunch of information. Is he there? Did he show up? If he showed up, okay, it's over. All right, enough talking about this. And I guess they're going to try to hash it out. They're going to try to work something out for this year or
I
beyond.
I think they're going to anyway.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
I think ultimately they will say, look, come in, play the year. If you have another amazing year, we'll either A, redo your contract, or B, trade you to a team of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, go, you know, allow you to pick from three team or whatever, or allow you the final choice over who, you know, as long as the deal is something we approve. I just don't think he's got nothing to gain from sitting out, mainly because the knee gets worse. If he's not active on the knee, it makes it worse by the very fact that he's not playing games, he's not changing direction. You know, and teams are going to be iffy about a player sitting out a year who's got historical knee issues. That would be an issue in terms of, you know, he's not going to get a fair deal either commensurately financially or in terms of a trade. I think the best bet for him is to come in and play.
And nobody likes the layoff, right?
No, absolutely. No. And if he doesn't have a good season and the knee is an issue, well, then Miami wins because A, it doesn't need to trade him, and B, they don't need to redo the contract. And if he turns around and has a stellar year and leads the league in picks and is an all-pro again, then let's have a conversation about trading him if that's what he wants to do, or we'll see where we are financially and, you know, we see which players have trained on and who needs a new contract and who we get rid of and all those sorts of things. You kick that can down the road for a year because you've got nothing to worry about. I suspect that's what will be ultimately how it plays out.
All right. I guess
which means he'll get traded tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. Or how very famously one time we said, you know, they needed to get something astonishing for Laremy Tunsil. If not, they're not trading him. The very next day, they got something astonishing for Laremy Tunsil. Yeah. So you never know. Maybe tomorrow, and I think we talked about this on a previous podcast, like somebody loses their mind on the phone, and it could be Dallas, and they say something like, hey, first-round pick or two first-round picks or a first-round pick and a second-round pick and a useful young player. I think the trade happens regardless.
The other interesting thing will be is if he decides to sit out the season or he holds out or whatever it is, and then a Super Bowl contender gets an injury at the position, or a Super Bowl contender plays a few weeks and feels, you know, something like Darius Slay gets injured in Philadelphia or something, you know, a contender gets an injury at that position, and then, you know, then they start to dial up the trade talks before the deadline, and, you know, you end up getting more because they're more desperate. So you come away with a one and a player or a one and a three or whatever. And I think that might be.
Yeah, which is one of my pet peeves. The NFL has the trade deadline at about, what is it, week five?
Week six.
Makes no sense to me. It should be like week 12 or something like that.
Yeah, it's very odd.
Like every other sport. You know, every other sport has it the NBA has it with 30 games to go in an 82-game season. Baseball has it with 40 games to go in 162 game season. For whatever reason, the NFL has their trade deadline in the first 2 months of the season, which makes no sense to me. But I guess while Chris, you have any questions in the Patreon, or we can go over the defensive.
Well, there's one.
Really
there's
quick.
One more. There's one more that stood out. There's one more that stood out to me, and that's if Austin Jack, and this is because, you know, Simon and I talked about Austin Jackson a lot pre-draft. So if Austin Jackson doesn't really, you know, show a lot of improvement this year, do you start looking at pulling the trigger on a different left tackle?
That's interesting, right?
How old is he though? That's the thing. I mean, you worry about.
He's still young. He's still a baby.
I mean, he's just 20. He's not even. No, he's going to be 22 in 3 weeks' time. I mean, he is a.
Yeah.
He really is a baby. Young. I mean, I think.
But we gave up on. We gave up on the linebacker Raekwon McMillan. He was still pretty young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I suppose the difference is that he wasn't the 18th overall pick, was he?
Yeah.
No.
Well, they do have Liam Eichenberg, so I think that's the insurance policy for now, right? If, you know, so they have two shots at it, I guess.
I mean, I would think about replacing him with somebody more premium, but the Dolphins, I don't think they will. That's my opinion. I think they were very sold on him.
Tunsil was 21 when we drafted him.
Yeah.
He's only a year older, but, you know, was significantly more advanced. I mean, we had Tunsil was talked about as the first overall pick for a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he was the de facto number one pick for 4 or 5 months. So.
All right. We'll dig into these questions a little bit later, but I think we could go over the defensive roster really quickly here. Simon, Raekwon Davis, the 0 and the 1. Does he move on to play a little bit of 3 tech this year, or is he back into the role that he excelled at the end of last year?
I suspect it's the excelling role. I mean, but then that kind of flows against Coach Flores' versatility packet that he loves to bring in. You know, he loves to line players up at different positions, and, you know, it's that old New England thing, players playing all over. But I think, you know, that there are now better players around. You add in an Adam Butler, who we all really like. You know, the development, the continued development of both Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer. So I think Davis is such a beast physically. I mean, he's such an enormous human being at 6'8", 330, or 6'7", 330. I mean, he's a monster. So I think he probably does play there. But again, you're looking for that step up. And it goes back to a conversation we had on the Patreon earlier on about Minka Fitzpatrick. And, you know, sometimes it's best, players are just best left at one position. Some players just don't like the ability to be versatile. You know, Swiss Army knife is great, but better to be master of something than master of nothing, and, you know, be able to play a lot of positions but not really play them brilliantly. I think you find a home for Davis and just let him off the leash. And, you know, you're looking for that big step up in, you know, this is a critical year for so many second year players that the Dolphins have, you know, because it's essentially shit or bust, you know, whether that's Tua, whether that's, you know, that's Lynn Bowden, whether that's, you know, the offensive line you talk about, Hunt and Jackson specifically, but Kindley, you know, Raekwon. There are so many players on this team that you're looking, Noah, you're looking to make a big jump in their second or third seasons to really help. Because if they fall away and, you know, they don't come to the party and they're just kind of average players, then, you know, this rebuild hasn't necessarily been the rebuild that you hoped it would be. If all of a sudden, you know, Davis is knocking on the Pro Bowl door, you know, Hunt and Jackson look significantly better, Tua's coming in and just looks comfortable and confident, and, you know, then who knows what could happen with this team. But so, they, you know, these kids that they've invested so much in with these draft picks they built up, it's time now. This season is time for them to show what they're made of. Because if they're not, then there's going to be some very significant question marks that the owner's already begun to raise about, you know, the long-term future of the coaching staff and the front office. And, you know, so the reliance on these kids is critical.
Yeah.
Chris, I think there was a tell in the offseason, though. In the free agency period with respect to Raekwon and the, you know, nose versus the inside versus outside. And they didn't really acquire, I mean, unless you count John Jenkins, probably isn't going to make the roster. Mm. They didn't really acquire somebody that's like, you know, okay, that's a good nose option, you know?
Yeah,
Adam Butler is a versatile guy.
Yeah, and you had that guy from
6'5", 295.
Yeah, and you had that guy from the Patriots. What was his name? Danny, what's his name? He was basically lobbying to get here, but they ignored him. Danny Shelton. And I don't know where he signed, but I know he signed somewhere else. He was lobbying to try to get here, and they were like, okay, that's nice. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have Raekwon Davis is 6'7", 330 pounds, right? And you know, his backup is probably Adam Butler, but like Adam Butler, you know, he's 300 pounds. He's a versatile guy. He moves around, you know. I don't think they really went ahead and got somebody.
There's three nose tackles on the roster, and one of them is John Jenkins. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, it's Raekwon, Benito Jones, John Jenkins. That's it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, Butler can play there. I mean, he can play, you know, Cedar can play, but, you know.
But But Jenkins isn't a roster guy, really. No, and Benito Jones, do you really trust him?
Exactly. So that tells you an awful lot about how they feel about Raekwon.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And Sealer and Wilkins pretty much rounds out that interior rotation. So, you know, I don't think there's many differences. Is there anybody that either of you see that could surprise us come camp? Like, I've always wondered about Tyson Render because he always looks great, you know, running around out there, and he's played well when he's been into preseason games. But that's the only guy I really worry about. Or
Ledbetter's interesting. You know, you'd like to see. You know, this is a 5-star kid, yeah. Under Armour All American. You know, committed to play at Alabama, ended up going to Georgia. You know, this is a guy that you think could be something, you know, potentially. You know, so you'd be intrigued to see what he.
And he looked good in that first. Yeah, he looked all right. Like they practiced. I saw him against the the Buccaneers. The joint practices. They did.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good at points during the training camp. So I do wonder about him. I know that he had a serious injury, and a lot of people even forgot that he's still here.
Mm.
But yeah, I would really look at him. He and Jason Strobridge is going to be an interesting.
Nick Coe as well. I like Nick Coe. I like Nick Coe.
Yeah, Nick Coe.
Auburn. He's an intriguing guy.
Yeah, Render. I think what helps Render is versatility as far as he plays special teams as well. So, best in special teams, I think, rounds out the bottom of the roster as far as defensive interior and exterior defensive linemen. I think Tyson Render can play a little bit of special teams. I think that'll help him. On the edge, I think we're kind of locked, really. It's Van Ginkle, Ogba, Beagle, and Jalen Phillips. Like, there's no one else. Like, I don't know anything about Kylan Johnson. Do you guys?
No, he's not that kind of player.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's in the middle. He plays in the inside as well. Type. Yeah. He's in more of an inside guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah. I think, if anything, Brennan Scarlett could play more on the outside, a little bit on the outside if need be. And then you're looking at, well, Tyson Render is also that kind of player, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, he could figure into the mix, I guess. But, those are the guys that you're looking at.
Yeah, although I think, 4, 6 to 9 techs, that's more than enough. That's more than most teams play or even carry. Mm-hmm. So I think we're pretty much locked up there. At linebacker, it's kind of locked as well, right? It's the same guys we thought that would be there at the beginning, and nobody else is going to surprise us. And maybe Sam Egwuban is this time does not hold on. We've been trying to cut him for 2 years. I think this time he does get cut.
Yeah, also, I can't see.
Is it there, right?
I mean, it's Baker, it's Roberts, it's McKinney, and it's Duke Riley. I can't see Egwuban making it.
Yeah, and Landon Roberts, I know that you said, Chris, that he probably does not make it, right?
Well, I just think that he might start the year in,
pop.
So that's where we have to have the PUP discussion, from a question in Patreon. Does he start training camp? On that, I mean, is he ready to go right now? I think you've been there. I mean, is he out there? Is he ready to go right now, or is he going to start training camp on that list? And if you start training camp on the list, then you can be kept on it during the season. And that's kind of what I was thinking.
Well, Landon Roberts says he's ready to go, which is shocking in and of itself. But he says he's going to be there for training camp.
Right.
I guess we'll see on the 27th. Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Moving on from the linebackers.
That's the question. Yeah.
Just that information came out today as well, didn't it? The next gen stats run stopping. You know, Landon Roberts finished 8th last season in run stop win rate per their next gen stats, which is pretty, And when he went out of that game against the Raiders, I didn't think we played particularly well against the run from that point forwards. Do you know what I mean? Like, Cameron Wolf tweeted something this morning about how Frank Gore said that he got hit so hard on 4th and 1 by Elander Roberts. It was the hardest he'd been hit in years. And, teams still run the ball. Do you know what I mean? So it's, having a guy that can wrap up and tackle and come up. And, he made a couple of that hit against the Raiders where he did his shoulder. I mean, or in that game, he later went out. But the hit, Jesus Christ, it was like a train running into a brick wall. It's just, yeah, I think he makes the team if he's healthy. But I think Chris's point is right. I think he probably starts, you know, on the pup.
Yeah, and he's a useful player still. I think he's really useful.
And, yeah.
And gives him a real depth. Like, you know, this is the first
special time. Special teams, leadership.
Yeah. All those things. Know. Yeah. Now, on the secondary, we've talked enough about the secondary. And I think we're all pretty high on Javon Holland. But I guess one question, and it begs the question, we all think he's going to be there on the 27th, Xavier Howard. But if he's not, where's the battle opposite of Byron Jones?
Well, Noah Igbinoghene is next man up, isn't he? I mean, that's what he was drafted for. So it's his position to lose, I think. I mean, I don't know who else they're going to play at outside corner. I mean, what are you doing with Noah if he's not going to be the replacement?
If that happens, let's just suppose that it does. They signed Jason McCourty, and you know, they initially said right away, I think he can play safety or corner. He was an outside corner. Like that's his experience. He can play there. So if you're looking for somebody's got to compete with Noah Igbinoghene, right? It's not it's not just, you know, here you go, hand it over to him. And I don't think the guy that's going to compete with him, for example, is going to be like, you know, Jaitlin Askew or Terrell Bonds. So, you know, no offense to those guys. So I wonder if that does happen, Xavier Howard goes through with a holdout, if Jason McCourty just appears at corner in camp, and that's just where we got to go.
Can you imagine the Dolphin Twitter virgins if Jason McCourty starts taking snaps ahead of Igbinoghene in training camp?
Hell will break loose.
There will be an absolute meltdown from people that have never seen him play, really, never saw him at all, and don't really know what they're watching anyway, but it'll be like, oh my God, he's awful. What a reach. We should have taken it. It's going to be so funny. Again, if Austin Jackson is the youngest player in the NFL, which I think he was last season, I think Noah is the second youngest, isn't that right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he is, in fact, he's younger than Austin Jackson turns 22 in August. Noah must be the youngest player in the NFL then, because he doesn't turn 22 until the end of November. So
A name I didn't hear from neither of you, I guess you really don't give him a shot, is Nick Needham. He doesn't have a shot at starting opposite in base defense against Byron Jones.
Yeah, I think he's the slot corner. I think he's a good slot corner. But he's got his own battles with Justin Coleman. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think they move him outside. They've spent 2 years training him inside. To me, he just looks better suited inside, which is odd because he's actually, you know, he's 6'1", 200 pounds. He's you know, he's a big guy. Guys like that size shouldn't be able to do what he does, but actually he's a pretty effective slot, you know. But it'll be an interesting battle between him and Justin Coleman. You know, that will give the Dolphins, you know, I think they'll both make the roster. But it'll be interesting to see who gets the nod, and, you know, because Coleman's a good, you know, I mean, Coleman's only, what, 18 months removed from the big contract to Detroit, and he wasn't a mug before he, you know, when he, yeah, he didn't get, that wasn't a fluky contract. Do you know what I mean? He was a good player in Seattle. So, and obviously Flores knows him because he had him in New England for a year. So.
You know what I wonder, though? I wonder, I mean, you know, we never really get a chance. This position has four guys, and I mean, this just seems like a lot. Four guys we just never even talk about, you know, like Jaitlin Askew, Terrell Bonds, Javaris Davis, Tino Ellis. You know, depends on what you consider
Jamal Perry,
Trill Williams to be. I think, you know, Jamal Perry, and yeah, we never talk about him, although we were familiar with him at least, because Trill Williams is listed as a corner, by the way. I don't know if that matters or not, but I mean, there's a lot of bodies
spy report on Trill Williams. He's played a lot of single high.
But this is Boyer's, this Josh Boyer's kind of specialty, isn't it? That's how he pulled Nick Needham out of nowhere. You know, he's compared him in the past to other guys that he pulled out of nowhere. What was his name? Malcolm Butler, the corner that they had, yeah. Or was it, I always confuse him with another Malcolm, but he pulls guys out of nowhere. And do we think that there's a chance that Tino Ellis Javaris Davis, Terrell Bonds, Jaitlin Askew, you know, they're the next out of nowhere dude that that Josh Boyer pulled from the low ranks and they did something.
He needs to stop wearing 51 though, because that's really annoying me.
Trill.
Yeah. I think he'll try to stick as maybe a fourth safety. They're gonna keep a ton of defensive backs, so we shall see, right? All right. Any more questions that you got on the Patreon? Chris, I think we have time for one more.
Oh, I lost track of them actually.
Okay.
I don't think there's.
Okay, a lot of questions on the offensive schemes. What would you anticipate? We've talked about that. You know, I guess we'll talk about it more on Twitter and on Patreon. But you know, we can't know until it starts, right? So we can think.
It will be interesting to just see. I just think it'll be interesting to see because they have so many receivers. We've talked about that ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. And yet they have so many tight ends, and we've talked about that ad nauseum. And so it's like, well, how much 11 versus 12 do they use?
Yeah.
You know, like that's going to be a big like battle. I guess we always think of camp battles as being like this guy versus this guy to try and make the roster or try and get the start. But there's got to be kind of a battle going on between personnel groupings, even mm-hmm. between 11 personnel groupings and 12 personnel.
Yeah, I think with all the talent that they have on offense, I'm wondering how they're going to use Mike Gesicki, and maybe does he figure in the future plans or not? You know, I'd love to see how they're going to use him. Yeah.
Well, did he even get used? Did he even get used in 12 personnel? It seemed like they weren't.
Yeah.
They weren't when last they were going year, 12. They were.
Yeah, last year they didn't use him in 12 personnel all that much. They were using a lot of him in 11 personnel. And when they used him in 12 personnel, it was in Y ISO. They're trying to get him the ball on right. pass pattern. So, yeah.
Also 21. Like 20 when you get two running backs out there, like is he even on the field? I don't think he's on the field.
Yeah, 21. It's going to be interesting to watch. And we finally do get to talk about real football next week, the next time we talk to you. But that's it. There is no more. We will talk to you guys next week. Real football is back.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.